Paul joins us on the hotline, senior editor as well as NBA writer for SB Nation. Paul, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Really appreciate the time. Paul, when you look at let's go by conference. Let's start in the East. Washington going the wrong way right now in terms of trying to battle for where they're going to wind up in the standings going into the playoffs. They're sitting at the fourth seed right now. They've lost three in a row, five out of the last 10. But they do have at least a little bit of a favorable schedule down the road. What's going on with the Wizards?
Yeah, I think they just, they were on a hot streak. And they went out west, and then they got whacked around a little bit. I mean, I think it's just sort of the normal ebb and flow of the season. I think, it would be good for them to get themselves back together. But when I look at the East, I'm not sure I don't know there's a spot you really want to fall in, right? If you're Toronto or Washington, whether the three or the four, what's your matchup going to be like? Are you going to get Milwaukee? Or are you going to get Atlanta in the first round? Are you going to get potentially Cleveland in the second round? Or are you going to get Boston potentially in the second round? So for those two teams, Toronto and Washington specifically, I think their number one thing has got to be get healthy, get focused, get rested, go on into the playoffs feeling good about yourself, because I don't know there's much upside to angling for a seed when you don't know where it's going to fall.
Yeah, that's the catch, because the top seed, of course, between Cleveland and Boston in the East is being tightly contested. Does tomorrow's matchup between the two of them essentially decide it?
It could go a long way. For the Celtics, I think that's a must win. I'm up here in Boston, and I think it would be a must win situation for them to have, not only for tiebreaker stuff, but also, look, they got them earlier in the year, and if they could get them twice, then all of a sudden that gives them a little bit of, a little bit of credibility, a little bit of confidence going into the playoffs. I think getting the top seed for the Celtics is huge. I'm not sure it really matters all that much for Cleveland, but if I'm Boston, I am definitely going for it.
And how much of that, Paul, is a mental thing? Like, how much of that is just a mental thing and we're a growing team and all that to be able to finish at number one for Boston?
Huge. Huge. Absolutely huge. For Cleveland, especially for LeBron, he's been doing it so long. He's made the finals without being the top seed. He's just not scared about it. And I wouldn't be either if I was him. But for the Celtics, you're looking for every edge you possibly can get against a team like Cleveland. And, again, it's really fascinating how this falls. I mean, Toronto is a tough matchup for Boston. Washington is a tougher matchup for Cleveland. But, again, there's no guarantee where you're going to be in terms of who you might get in the second round. But for the Celtics, if I'm them, just keep pushing, because you got a nice thing going right now. You're feeling good about yourself. Don't slide down the stretch.
In the East, as the teams scramble to make the back end of it, Chicago, Miami, Indiana, all kind of competing for those final two spots, is there anybody you think that might land those seeds, say, 5 through 8, that have a chance of upsetting any of the top four?
Yeah, Milwaukee. Milwaukee's really good. I saw them last week. They're legit. They have been very, very good for a long time. Chris Middleton makes them legit. They didn't have him earlier in the year, and he is the secret balance that they needed to sort of flesh this thing out. Giannis is playing out of his mind. He's so freaking good. And, they've got a nice rotation. They've got veterans that know what they're doing. They've got playoff-tested guys. I would be very, very, very concerned about playing Milwaukee in the first round.
Paul, you switch over to the West now, where, in looking with the, 8-9 games remaining, especially as Sean and I sit here in Denver, we know that the loss that Denver had on the road to Portland, the fact that Denver plays so many of their final games on the road, Portland has so many of them at home, and yet Minnesota did the Nuggets a favor last night by knocking off Portland at least making it somewhat interesting. How do you see that 8 seed going? Is it Portland's because of a favorable schedule, or can you see a scenario where Denver gets on a roll?
Well, I think it's Portland's to lose, unfortunately for you guys, because I was in the back of my mind, I was kind of hoping Denver would get there. I think it would be really good for the city, for the franchise, and all that stuff. And then once Nurkic went down, that opened the door a little bit. They lost a tough one last night, so the door's open a crack. But I think it's going to be really hard to make up. And like you say, Portland has a much more favorable schedule down the stretch. And I think Dame Lillard sees the end in sight, and he's one of the best closers in the league. So I really think if Portland – it would be Portland's to lose at this point more than Denver's to win.
Things are starting to shape up atop the West, obviously. We know where the Warriors, Spurs, and Rockets all land. But that's that 4-5 battle, Utah and the Clippers, that they're really scrambling for those spots. They'll be playing each other. The question is just which one plays with the home court advantage. Utah has flown under so many people's radar this year. They right now hold on to that 4 slot. Will they keep it, and will they continue to maybe surprise a lot of folks?
I don't know, but that's the first round matchup that I'm looking forward to the most because those two teams just really don't like each other. They've had some tough battles. There's been some trash talk going back and forth. Gobert had some things to say. Chris Paul had some things to say. And, you know, that's a fascinating one for me because Utah's been building toward this for a couple of years. I thought they underachieved a little bit last year. This is how good they should be. They should be in that 50-win range. So this is their first time, and really for the Clippers, I mean, I think the writing's on the wall for them. It's now or never. So this is kind of a fascinating first-round matchup. It's going to be very late at night. It's going to keep people awake, but I think this is going to be one of the nastiest, longest first-round series we get. You know, whoever gets home court there will have the edge. I kind of like Utah coming out of it just because they're deeper and younger, but, you know, that's a good one to watch.
Last one for you, Paul. Away from the playoff standings, who's your MVP if you had a vote?
Man, I don't know yet, and I do have a vote. And I've been agonizing this, and I've been talking about this. Tom Zeller and I just put a post up this morning going through the whole debate. I'm between Harden, Westbrook, and I had LeBron for most of the year. I mean, you can make a case for Kawhi. I think I'm really kind of narrowing down between Harden and Westbrook, and I have not honestly made up my mind yet.
There we go. Paul Flannery, SB Nation, covering the NBA. And a senior editor for them, talking to professional basketball. We always appreciate the time, Paul. Thank you.
Sure thing, guys.
Good stuff there. Harden and Westbrook?
Yeah.
Is it down to that for you?
I think so. In fact, to me, I think it's I can't believe I'm saying this, given the season that Westbrook's had. If I were to pick one, my vote's Harden.
Paul is on Twitter, by the way, at Paul Flanns, FLANNS, if you want to follow him on Twitter and catch his coverage of NBA, the stuff that he does for SB Nation.